Marines tend to portray the Second Fallujah Battle of the Year as a great victory, but some Marines feared that the victory ultimately could prove pyrrhic. "In the recesses of my mind, it bothered me," said Colonel John Tulin. He found himself wondering, what's the impact on a 10-year-old kid when he goes back in and sees his neighborhood destroyed? And what is he going to do when he's 18 years old? Proceedings, the Navy's professional magazine, came to a similarly sober conclusion. "The Battle of Fallujah was not a defeat," wrote Jonathan Keeler, a former Marine officer, "but we cannot afford many more victories like it." Probably the best assessment was that of Army Colonel William Hicks. "The two key battles of 2004," he said, "were shutting down Sadr in Najaf in August and then removing Fallujah as an insurgent sanctuary in November. Given the containing insurgency and political progress are key elements of counterinsurgency, these actions were essential to the campaign, especially for the political benefit of undercutting the ability of the insurgents to launch attacks to block the January 2005 election. The coalition fought its way to the elections." That is likely accurate, but if major military operations were necessary preambles to political movement, it likely meant that the U.S. was in for a very long war. In an official review of the performance of Iraqi forces in and around Fallujah, two Marine officers made it clear that it would be a long time before many Iraqi forces would be able to operate against insurgents on their own. "Iraqi army units are not ready for independent operations at any level," they reported. Marines sent to advise the Iraqi units found that they instead had to lead them. These companies were, by necessity, led, not merely advised by U.S. personnel. These advisors had to run the company and conduct all external coordination, such as requests for fire support, casualty evacuation, and logistic support. The 5th Battalion advisors were taxed to the limit of their mental and physical limits by the fact that none of them had within their companies a functioning chain of command. The one bright note emerging from the experience was that properly led and advised Iraqi units actually were more effective than Marines at some tasks, most notably in getting the population to help them find weapons caches and in interrogating detainees. Even so, the report repeatedly underscored how difficult the advisory task was and how lengthy the job of producing effective Iraqi forces was promising to be. In addition, advisors needed to be proficient in a wide range of military skills that extended well beyond the usual infantry training. Company-level advisors needed, among other things, sound knowledge of how to use and fix military radios, training in urban warfare, the ability to operate and troubleshoot a variety of heavy machine guns, and basic training in demolitions.